Let me just pray, ask God to help us, help me. Oh God, it is so good this morning to turn to a God who is never changing. God, that we don't have to worry this morning that somehow you're going to change your mind and expect us to somehow earn our salvation or expect us to perform in such a way that it would impress you. God, we thank you that your promises are true and that they will never be altered because you will never change. And so we thank you for that. And we thank you for the reality this morning of your written word that you've given to us so that we can know who you are and we can know who we are and we can know how to live on this earth the way you created us to live originally with you and for you. And so, Spirit, I pray you would come now as we look at your word. We openly and joyfully confess that we can understand nothing apart from you. We can't. We need you. We need you to open our hearts so that your living and active word would cut away sin and replace it with joy and with life. And so we turn to you for that this morning, to give us life in the name of Christ through the written word and the power of the Spirit. Would you do that, God? My friends in this room have all had different needs, God. They've got different challenges they're facing, different trials, different struggles, different joys. And so even in this little time we have together, would you please speak to us individually? Speak to each person here. Tell them exactly what they need to hear from you through your word this morning and through your Spirit. Would you do that, I pray? May we walk out the doors in the back and say, I heard from God today. God spoke to me today. God helped me today. God met me today. Would you do that? I know you've already done it through singing. Now do it through your word, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this morning we're going to begin in Psalm 9. It's written on the front of your little handout this morning. You can also turn in your Bible to Psalm 9 if you'd like. The message this morning is going to sound maybe a little familiar if you remember what I spoke on in the last Sunday of 2023. So I'm just confessing, this is a confession that I'm recycling part of this, because as I was preparing, God led me basically to the same passage, which then led me to go, did I ever preach this before? I couldn't remember until I went back and looked on the website. So I'm assuming you probably won't remember either that I preached from this before. So there's a self-confession to you. So as I was seeking God, I feel like this is where God wants us to land again. And maybe you can tell why, just even as I read this passage, because it's calling us to do something that's not really natural for most of us. At least it's not for me. I'm always forward-looking. Forward-looking. What's going to happen next? And sometimes even in a negative way, like, how can I get the better or the newer? I need the faster. I need the better. I'm always thinking advance, take the hill. Instead of stopping and recounting the past, which is what this psalm is all about. And for me, if I recount the past, typically, and this is just how I'm wired, it leads me down dark roads. It doesn't lead me to happy roads. Usually it leads me to regrets and things that I'd rather not think about, things that bring guilt or shame. But in this case, David asks us to join him in Psalm 1 and 2 to, in fact, recount God's wonderful deeds. So Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2, God's word says this to us: I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. What a wonderful, knowing I was taking a little tiny chunk of this psalm this morning and not going into the whole thing, but what a wonderful reminder. I feel like David, God, the Spirit, through David is reminding us or calling us, inviting us to hit the pause button on our lives. Pause button on what has to happen this afternoon. Pause button on what has to happen today, tomorrow, next week. And to put away those distractions and to delightfully discipline ourselves to consider last week, last month, this past year, and to focus backwards by recounting all of God's wonderful deeds. In the Hebrew, it actually reads to recount the wonders of God. To recount, really, the wonderfulness of God. It's a time to step back and go, look at how wonderful God is in all the things that he did for me in this past year. I mean, David here is really counting and then recounting all of the deeds of God that show off or prove that God is extraordinary, marvelous, and wonderful. That's what he's doing. He's looking back on what God has done for him. And his response to this, recounting in this one psalm, his response to it is to give thanks with his whole heart. His response really is fourfold. I feel like he's recounting God's wonderfulness to him, which is producing in him thankfulness with a whole heart. His whole soul is giving thanks to God for being wonderful to him. It says that he is glad. Literally, he's merry and rejoicing. He is going to exult in God as he looks back on what God has done, which literally means jump for joy. There's a sense in which there is physical jumping going on when he says that. I'm going to exult. I'm going to jump for joy for what God has done, for how wonderful God is. And then he's going to pull out his harp, I'm guessing, and pluck the strings of his instrument as he sings a song. I mean, this is what David's doing. He's recounting the wonderfulness of God, all of the deeds that he has done, and it's sparking in him this thankful joy within. Now, I don't know about you, but I want this. I want to join David in this. I want to take time to recount all the things that God has done for me. I want to connect them to not just blessings from God, but the wonderfulness of God, that God is really this glorious. And so I think it's good to take a couple minutes to consider just some of the wonderful things that God has done for us this past year. Just to consider some of them. I mean, how many of us went even one day this past year without food to eat? We didn't, right? That's 1,093 meals, if you ate three meals a day, that God provided for you this past year. How many of us went a day without clothing? How many of us went a day without not just a shelter to get out of the elements, but a shelter that's climate controlled? So that in August, you didn't want to kill each other. And when you woke up last week when it was 14 degrees, you could heat your home and stay warm. And then just add to that, and then if you wanted to go somewhere, you got in your climate controlled little bubble and you drove to the next place you needed to go. I mean, these are things God provides for us over and over again. How many of us had a job, had the ability to buy the things that you needed this past year? I mean, those are the signs that God's wonderful, that we can so easily take for granted. In Acts, we read that God gives to all mankind life and breath and everything else. Do you know how many breaths you took in 2024? Approximately 7.5 million breaths you took. And what did you contribute to taking those breaths? Nothing. Nothing. It's just the wonderful grace of God. Your heart beat 40 million times this past year, and you had nothing to do with it. I mean, just the marvelousness of God in our lives, sustaining us and keeping us alive. Then he's got all the joys of the past year, the friendships that we experienced this past year, vacations we took, eating out, the parties, the hikes through the woods, our pets, dog, cat, horse, and hamster, all of them. Just more realities that God is wonderful, the blessing he has poured down on us. And then there's all the spiritual realities that we lived in every day. This past year, I mean, we had access to gathering with God's people every week for encouragement. I just take it for granted sometimes. No, God blessed us this past year with allowing us to meet in this setting, to meet in small groups of three, to meet in community groups, or just to meet whenever and however you want to. I mean, that's just wonderful of God to give us one another that way. All of us have a copy of God's word. I mean, come on, if there's something to jump up and down for joy over, shouldn't it be God's word? I mean, we will jump up and down when a man in tights takes a pig filled with air and gets it over a painted line. Shouldn't we jump up and down more over this? We have God's communication to us every day, all the time, to enjoy. He spoke to us. What a wonderful God. How wonderful it is to live in this time where we have access to his word all the time. We need to thank God and exalt in him for what he has given us in his word. And then what about all the sins that God has forgiven in the past year? I mean, I want to think and start to count up all the sins of the past year that God has forgiven me of. I mean, you are still justified. All of 2023, you were justified. Your sins were forgiven, and you were clothed in Christ's righteousness 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for the entire year. You were redeemed the whole year. You were adopted the whole year. You were united to Christ the whole year. Your sins were atoned for the whole year. God's wrath was removed for the whole year. Those are miracles. Those are miracles. Your union with Christ was not severed for even a split second in 2024. Your adoption was never nullified, even for a moment. And your justification was never reversed. Not even once. I mean, the spiritual realities that we live in as believers is off the charts. It's just unreal to think of all that God has done. The promises that he has kept for us over and over again. What a God we have. I mean, he is truly wonderful in all that he has done, never leaving us, never forsaking us. If you would turn with me to Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8 helps me to sort of drive this home in my own heart, the realities of the wonderfulness of God in our lives. In Deuteronomy 8, God's people are about to go into the promised land. They're about to go into the promised land. And here's what God says to them. I'm going to jump into verse 11. This is Deuteronomy 8, verse 11. This is what God says. They're about to go into the promised land. And he says this, "Take care." It begins with a warning. There's two warnings in here. "Take care, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have," and just get a load of this list, this is a list that we can all identify with, "lest when you have eaten and are full," that's me, "and have built good houses and live in them," check, "and when your herds and flocks multiply," I interpret that as a full fridge and a full freezer, "and your silver and gold is multiplied," I translate that as having something in savings, "and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up," literally your heart will be proud, be careful, your heart will be proud, "and you forget the Lord your God." So there's a warning here. When you've got it all, there's a potential that you will forget God. You will forget him. And I don't think what he's saying is you'll wake up a morning and have no concept of God in your mind. What he's saying is your soul will not be beaming with joy in your God as your provider. You will become proud. And then he goes on to explain how this works. And here's our link to our study to the book of Exodus. This God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of a flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and my might and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. Ah, beware. Your education didn't get you your wealth. Your talent doesn't get you your wealth. Your good ability to search for a job didn't get you your wealth. Beware, he says, that you're going to think that it was your power and your might that got you the wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. Who gives you power? God. Every good blessing we have comes from God, and he is the one that gives us the power to get anything we have, that he might confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is to this day. This is God's warning. This lands on my heart in a good way and in a convicting way. It does. That I can go about life, in essence, forgetting God by not exalting in God, not rejoicing in God, not giving praise to God as often as I should for all the blessings and all the things that he has poured out on my life. And listen, I think this is what God created us for. I mean, God created us to enjoy him, to stand in wonder of him, to take all the gifts that he gives us and to look at them and go, what a God! How kind of God! How beautiful is my God that he would bless us in so many different ways, day in and day out. It should cause us to want to kneel and adore him, to get down and bless him for what he has done for us. And the list just keeps going of ways that God has blessed us. But I think it is good for our souls. I might even say I think it's therapeutic in some way when we take time to reflect on what he's done and give him praise and thanksgiving for it. It does good. It releases stuff in our brains. It helps our hearts when we take time to consider not what we want next, but what God has already done for us. And so in the little worksheet that I gave you, there's a thing inside where you can spend some time, I pray, this week, just considering. The questions may not be the greatest questions in the world, but they're just to help you get your brain thinking a little bit about all the ways that God has blessed you, the prayers he's answered, the ways he's met you, the ways he's helped you, and to help you come up with a list, to fill that out, and then to give praise to God for those things. I love creation. I love to think back on what God did at creation. God is so inefficient in creation. So inefficient. Right? All he has to do is say the word and it all happens instantaneously. But he takes 7 days to do it, 6 days to do it. And then on day seven, he just looks back and says, look at how good this is. And I feel like that's like us. We need to take that break, literally, probably every week, and just look back on the last week and go, look at what God has done. Look how God has provided. Look at how God has sustained me and blessed me and cared for me and disciplined me and led me. And I think that's part of how God rolls. God rejoices and loves to look back and celebrate things he's done. And I think it's good for us when we stop and celebrate the things that God has done. So I hope that you have time this week, that you can just sit down, maybe as a family, couples, in your groups of three, and just recount some of God's blessings for the past year. Just celebrate them. Just celebrate who God is in all the ways that he has met you in the last year. So there's looking back. Now I want to take a minute, and I just want to talk about looking forward. Any of you guys make resolutions? Do we have any resolution people? All right, what is yours? Get more tattoos? Finish? No. Some people love doing New Year's resolutions. Every year, this time, I pray. I say, Lord, is there anything for our church family for the upcoming year? I don't know if you guys remember. I've tried to pray this kind of consistently throughout the year, even here with you all. Psalm 119, where it says, I will run in your ways when you enlarge my heart. And so I prayed a lot this year for us as a church, that God would just enlarge our hearts. And so as I was praying for us for the new year, asking God, is there something you want to kind of be a thread that runs through the whole year for us as a church family? The word that kept coming to mind was just seek. Seek. That God wants us to increase and take advantage of all the opportunities he gives us to seek him, over and over again. And so on the back side of your sheet, I have three verses there that I've just boxed in for us to consider this morning, for you to consider as you make plans for the new year. Try to pick one that Old Testament says, whoever the writer of Hebrews is says, and then Jesus himself says basically the same sort of things. It's a thread through Scripture. God wants us to seek him. He does. He wants us to pursue him. And so in Jeremiah, we read that God says to us that you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. An invitation from God for us just to seek him. And to know that he's not trying to avoid us. I know some of you guys are younger. God's not playing hide and seek. We're not seeking him because he's aloof and we can't figure out where he's at. God has invited us to seek him because he's right there running to you as you run to him. I mean, that's what he's doing. He wants us to seek him. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. I mean, do you believe that this morning? That God rewards those who seek him. The reward is usually him. Usually as you get him, you go to him, and he becomes your reward. But it's an invitation for you to go seek him. And then Jesus says these words in John 6. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Go back and read chapter 6. It's an entire chapter all about bread. It's the bread chapter. And it culminates really with this statement from Jesus where he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. I don't know if you know this about yourself, but your soul is hungry. My soul thirsts, and my soul is hungry. Your soul has an appetite, and you will seek what you believe will satisfy that hunger. You will. You will give your time, you will give your money, you will give your energy to the things you believe will satisfy the hunger that is in your soul. And so Jesus is saying, I'm the only one that is going to satisfy that hunger. I'm the bread of life. So come to me for life. That is the invitation. And so as God seeks us in 2025, may we be found seeking him. As God pursues us, may we be found seeking him really with all of our hearts. As God draws near to us, may we be running towards him. And there's so many ways to do that. I don't know what kind of practices you have of seeking God, but I wanted to share a small list of ways you can seek God in the new year. I think we seek God when we gather like this, right? We're seeking his favor, we're seeking his presence, we're seeking him to change us and to meet us. When you guys go to your groups of three, when you meet with one another, it's a chance for you to be, you're seeking God together. When you're interacting with one another, you're seeking his presence and his guidance and his correction and his care. We talk about speaking Jesus into one another's lives and not just sharing each other's opinions. It's a way of us seeking God. Sing together. When you sing alone, I trust you have time somehow during the week to sing alone, whether it's in your car or in the shower, wherever it is, that there's a chance where you're singing to your God as a way of seeking him. There's fasting. I think there's a way to seek God just through creation. Psalm 19 is very clear that we can encounter God and we see God's goodness and his glory and his character in creation and in his word. So I don't know if you have time weekly where you get outside and just look around and enjoy creation. Then there's through prayer, solitude, just listening to the Spirit as he speaks to you. And then there's through his word, through reading, memorizing, and meditating on God's word. Now, I don't know if you have a plan for how you do that. Every year I kind of reevaluate how my last year went in my plan for seeking God, and I tweak it and twist it and change it and make it for what I think God wants me to do for the new year. But I want to encourage you to have a plan for meeting with God. Have a plan. If you need help figuring out what that plan is, I'm sure there's lots of people in this room, including myself, who would love to sit with you and talk about what that plan could look like. But I'll tell you this, if you don't have a plan, you'll be in trouble. At least that's how I operate. If I don't have a plan, I drift. And so I just want to encourage you to have some sort of a plan for seeking God in the new year through His Word. I printed out some of these. I know this is probably very old school because you guys will do this electronically, but here's two reading plans that I've enjoyed. One is if you've never ever read through God's Word before, there's one to read just through the New Testament in a year, and there's another one to read through the entire Bible in a year. And so I just want to encourage you, if you've never had a plan or you've never tried to do anything like this, that maybe this is the year to try to have some sort of plan to help you intentionally meet with God each day. So love to help you figure out what that is. This could be helpful. Talk with you about what it is. Talk to others about what they do. There's so many ways to encounter God, but primarily we've got to be in His Word. We need His Word in us. And so I just want to encourage you, you can take one of these if you want to when we're done today. But I want to encourage you to have some sort of a plan in the new year, some way of figuring out how you want to meet with God in the upcoming year. So what I want to do now, we have a few minutes, is I actually want to give you a few minutes to work on the worksheet and or to, if you don't have a plan yet for the new year, to take a few minutes and to think through that, and then we're just going to sing some songs and we'll be done. Good? So let's take a couple minutes. I want you to actually take some time and think through some of the stuff that's on the worksheet. And this is not usually how we do stuff here, but I thought for this morning, it's a new year. We need some time to sit and consider how God has blessed us in the past year, and then maybe a plan for the new year. So let's just take a minute or two and do that, and then we'll sing another song together.